At the Home Depot, free carpet installation means free carpet installation. And free includes clearing out furniture, ripping out old carpet, hauling it away, even carpeting stairs, with no hidden fees. Free installation on carpet $699 or more means free installation. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Thanks to you, Ace was awarded its 11th straight J.D. Power Award for customer satisfaction with home improvement retail stores. To say thanks, we're giving you 20% off throughout the store. And as always, the help is free. So hurry into your local Ace and save 20% on select items this Friday through Sunday only. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only at participating stores. Additional conditions and exclusions apply. See store for details. For J.D. Power Award information, visit jdpower.com.
I am V.
The Score is Chicago's exclusive home for Super Bowl 52. Don't miss the New England Patriots take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen live Super Bowl Sunday on Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Mark Grody. Coach Collins and the Wildcats host Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, and Wisconsin at Allstate Arena in February. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Larry Nassar sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison today. The former USA Gymnastics and Michigan State doctor sexually assaulted athletes under his care. A total of 156 people, which included women, girls, and their parents, provided impact statements during 7 days of the sentencing hearing in Lansing, Michigan. Bulls in Philadelphia tonight while the Blackhawks are home to play the Toronto Maple Leafs. College basketball, Illinois, Indiana on the Score tonight at 7. DePaul takes on Georgetown tonight. In about 15 minutes from right now, we will find out this year's Baseball Hall of Fame class, 515. And from the NFL, Rob Gronkowski listed with a concussion on the Patriots injury report, and this does mark the first time the Patriots have acknowledged that Gronkowski suffered a concussion. He was knocked out of the Patriots 24-20 AFC Championship game victory the other day. The scoreboard update being brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. I'm Mark Grody, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score, and the radio home for Super Bowl 52 on Sunday, February 4th, when the Patriots do take on the Eagles. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Hi, Hub.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
An experienced NFL reporter with decades of experience.
670 The Score's NFL insider.
Is he a long-range answer? That seems a bit unlikely. I think they've got better young talent in the pipeline, but they're still a ways away from completely fixing the position.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
NFL expert Hub Arkish.
Analyst for Shaw Media, the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Daily Herald.
I am tired of watching this crap. That was awful today.
Taking your calls on the Bears and the NFL.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Hub.
Hub's gone. They had to close the restaurant down because they closed at 1 o'clock.
Oh, no, I want to talk to Hub because...
I'll call next week.
Hub Arkish.
Hub Arkish? That's getting better than this.
With Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Hub Arkish belongs to you today. He belongs to several outlets as well. Director of football content at Shaw Media, editor of Pro Football Weekly. He is our senior Bears and NFL expert here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. You find him on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. Hi, Hub.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Your people are ready for you. You set?
Yep, all good.
Frank in Oak Park is first on the Score.
Hub, I want you to expand on something you touched on when you filled in for Jason Monday. You implied there was a way that the Bears can reprogram cap space that would be used on Glennon if he were to be a Bear in 2018 and instead deployed to bring back both free agent corners Fuller and Amunkamara. Having suffered through numerous Bear games the last 3 years where starting corners could not suit up and being forced to see replacements like McManus and Bosby and others lose what were winnable games, the prospect of preserving a good position group is appealing. Pace could then take a great cornerback in the first or second round, but he wouldn't be forced to. he could hold off until the fourth round to get a guy who wouldn't need to be functioning higher than a 3 or 4 on the depth chart in year one. What may be the outline of contracts for Fuller and Amakimura that will return these good coverage but not high interception-generating CBs to the Bears for Glennon's money, which I think is slated for $15 million in 2018?
Yeah, I think the Glennon number is actually 14.5, but you're right there, Frank. There's no question about that. The cap hit that they'd save is actually about 16.5. You know, the bad news for the Bears is it's not a great year in free agency really anywhere. I finally did some homework. We've compiled some lists. Actually, I suppose the good news is the deepest group available of other teams' veteran free agents is a wide receiver. That's where you're going to find the most talent. But there's not much at cornerback. You know, you've got Tremaine Johnson is going to be out there. There is one other good corner, and it's escaping me right now. I've actually got Kyle Fuller ranked as the third best cornerback available. And so in that regard, you know, the price is going to get driven up. That said, I don't really think that a lot of folks, you know, see Kyle Fuller as a shutdown or a lockdown corner. So I don't think you've got to worry about getting to the kind of money that was spent last year on Stephon Gilmore and A.J. Boye and some of these other players. Fuller is going to get a longer-term deal than Amukamara is because he's 25 years old. That's the biggest advantage he has. Malcolm Butler is the guy I'm forgetting, obviously the Patriots corner, and Tremaine Johnson are the top two corners in the market. And then you've got Bashaud Breeland from Washington. Other than that, there's nobody who compares with Fuller and Amukamara. So I'm guessing that the total contract value, you're going to have to guarantee Kyle Fuller $25 to $30 million to get him. Amukamara and Fuller would get probably a 4 or 5 year deal. Amukamara is going to get probably a 3 year deal. His guarantee is going to be in the $15 or $16 million range. But as far as how those could be structured, they shouldn't have to cost you more than probably between the two of them, $20 to $23 million against the cap this year. So assuming they make the moves I suggested yesterday, I know Dan agreed, I just don't see any circumstances under which Jarrell Freeman and Pernell McPhee, in addition to Glennon, are back, you're going to have about $70 million in cap space to play with. I think you could get both corners done between 20 and 25, and that would still leave you a ton of cap space to go out and make some other big moves.
Tom and Fond du Lac, you're on the Score with Hub. Tom?
Oh, I'm sorry about that, guys. Hub, I'm a Vikings fan, and unfortunately that's kind of stingy this week. But for the last five championship game appearances, they've had a range of losses that have gone from pathetic blowouts in games that should have been competitive to stunning, agonizing defeats in games that they either should have won or at least should have probably come out ahead in, excuse me. So I guess the question that I have are actually two. The first is there a more cursed team in professional sports, at least relative to the regular season success? And I guess the second is more of just a bet I have with a friend. And I guess, is there a better team that ever existed that didn't win a Super Bowl than the 98 Vikings?
Well, Tom, I'll take the second part first. They're in the conversation. That 98 team was 15-1. And all they needed was for Gary Anderson to hit a field goal at the end to go to the Super Bowl, and Anderson had not missed all year, but he missed that one. I want to say it was a 41 or a 42-yarder. Game goes to overtime, and, of course, that was the Atlanta Falcon Dirty Birds team that ended up in the Super Bowl. Were they the best team to not go to a Super Bowl? I'd have to go back and, you know, research that.
There might be some here. Bears teams in there.
Yeah, we're talking about 51 others, and the first one that comes to mind are the 86 and 87 Bears. Talent-wise, those teams were better than the Vikings. That was just Mike Ditka getting badly outcoached by Joe Gibbs in the wild card round or the divisional playoff round, whichever it was. Well, that was prior to 90, so that would have been the first round. You wouldn't have called it the wild card round. And then I can still see Daryl Green coming down the sidelines with that pick with broken ribs, taking it to the house in 87. That was just a killer. So, you know, those are two teams that come to mind quickly. Dan and I were talking about this a week or two ago, or actually I think it was you and I, Dan. I don't classify the Vikings as cursed. It's not like something unusual outside of their control has happened to this football team. They've had great players who have not played their best football when it came to the NFC Championship game. You fail on a Hail Mary against the Cowboys going all the way back to the 70s. Anderson misses a field goal. Blair Walsh shanks a 27-yarder to get to the next round. Those aren't curses. Those are players not coming through. So I feel for Vikings fans. I understand where you're coming from. But I mean, you know, a curse would be the Red Sox with Bill Buckner and the ball going between his legs, something like that. I just think those are a little different type of situations. So I'll tell you what, you've got a great roster there. You got a great front office, a great coach, and the window is still open. What's going to be intriguing is what they do about the quarterback situation, but I think they'll get a couple more cracks in the next couple of years.
It's Todd and Gardner, where we're playing the hits with Hub on Wednesday on The Score.
Good to hear from all you guys, fellas. And first, Jason, really quick, you did slide uphill, my man. And tell anybody that doesn't think so to kiss my rear end.
There it is.
Cool.
There it is, all right. Todd.
And Todd, by the way, I got your mention in there with Joe Thomas, too, just because.
Thank you. I mean that sincerely. And I was going to say, the funniest part of that was when you said, we've got a listener who is a Browns fan, and he goes, really? And I was about to, I was waiting for him to go, why?
Right. That's a guy on the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So, anyways, there are my questions really quick. Joe Thomas said something in a Sports Illustrated interview either yesterday or today that I read, and one makes me think he needs to go into the concussion protocol, because he said that Hugh Jackson should have been retained, and he did a great job, and, you know, blah, 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 which scared me. But then, the thing that I did like is he mentioned that and I've heard him say this on the Cleveland station, he really thinks they're in the hunt and have a good shot at getting Kirk Cousins, and if not, some other veteran quarterback. And, you know, the more I read about Dorsey, it sounds like that's his MO, and I know everybody says they got to go quarterback, but there's some franchise, you know, Fitzpatrick, you know, Rokon. I mean, you've got some guys that can really, I mean, they're not just a quarterback away. And with $100 million in cap space, I don't know. Dan said I did. I was so depressed last week, I texted in that I can't even talk. But after hearing Thomas and reading a little bit, I'm a little jacked. So I guess what I'm saying is, do you think there's a chance? Like, I mean, more than a snowball's chance in Hades that they don't go quarterback or they trade the pick for more? Or do you think it's 100% or close to it that they'll go quarterback? So thanks again, guys. Talk to you soon.
You know, Todd, I think John Dorsey is smart enough not to go quarterback. I don't think they should go quarterback. And the reason I say that is because if you go back and forget, you know, Pro Football Weeklies or Matt Miller or, you know, Mel Kiper, whoever you want, but you talk to NFL teams, you look at their boards, you look at their scouting reports, I would wager you that you're not going to find many teams that are going to have any of these top quarterbacks rated significantly higher than Deshaun Kizer. Now, I know we've got a bad rookie year of Kizer's to look at, but at the end of the day, these kids are not top five or top 10 picks. Somebody's going to do it. I get that. I'm not making that argument. But I think John Dorsey is one of the smart ones. And you know, you look at the first overall pick and you consider pairing Bradley Chubb with Myles Garrett, and you suddenly have a defense that may be unstoppable because nobody can throw the ball on them. They don't have time. You look at the fourth pick, and maybe you plug in a Minka Fitzpatrick, or maybe you go offense, and you add a Saquon Barkley or somebody who actually, I know some folks don't like him, but most folks love him. So that's just one example. You can do a lot of different things there. To me, the top 15 players in this draft clearly do not play quarterback. So, you know, I think that you either use 1 and 4 on the best players, you continue to try and develop Kizer, you take one of these guys in the second or third round because they're all pretty much balanced out as far as prospects. Maybe you go Kirk Cousins. Maybe I keep hearing that they're active in calling the Chiefs about, you know, getting Alex Smith. So there's a lot of ways to do this. And I think to use a first or a fourth pick in this draft on one of these quarterbacks is a waste. And I think that John Dorsey's too smart to do that.
In Geneva, it is Sean. He's on The Score.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Hub. Just two quick questions for you. One, at the end of the NFC Championship game, Fox decided to throw out the statistic that dome teams are now 0-13 playing outdoors in championship games. One, does that actually mean anything? Can we take anything from that? And then the second question I have, with Gene Steratore being named the head official for the Super Bowl, do you see that affecting the big game in any way? Thank you.
Well, Gene Steratore was given the game because he's the highest ranked official in the league, and so people can talk about the index card all they want. And Gene does have a little more personality than some. You know, he'll have some fun, but he's a really good official. So, you know, I don't see that affecting the game in any way more than, you know, if they'd given it to somebody else, you know, short of one of the guys who is not as good as Gene Steratore. You know, as far as that 0-12 stat, I didn't even waste my time going to check it out, because the first thing you got to do, obviously, is are we assuming that all 12 of those were played in northern cold weather, bad weather cities? Right. I don't know that to be the case. I mean, you know, maybe some of them were played in Florida and California, in which case going outdoors shouldn't matter all that much. I think we would have to do a study of dome teams playing outdoors in total, not just in Super Bowl games or championship games or whatever it may be. So it's an interesting stat. You can't ignore it. And by the way, we were aware of it going into the game. I knew it was 0-12. Now it's 0-13. Didn't impact my prediction, which obviously was a pretty bad prediction. You know? But I wouldn't make too much out of it without doing a lot more research on it. I think at the end of the day, the best football team usually wins. And, you know, if the Vikings offense had come apart and they'd lost a close one, I'd say maybe. But the weather and the indoor shouldn't affect the defense as much as the offense. And the Vikings defense lost them that football game, not the offense. So I don't see that it had that much impact on it.
We're going to do more with Hub on the other side of a break. The segment brought to you by Go-Go Squeeze. Looking for a healthy snack for your kids? Go-Go Squeeze is made from all natural fruit and no artificial anything to give kids the fuel they need to explore and play. Find them in the applesauce aisle today. Got a couple lines open, 312-644-6767. Football Talk. Bears, NFL, Super Bowl. It's all here on The Score.
The matchup is set. The New England Patriots will take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 52.
For Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, it's Super Bowl number 8.
For this great city of Philadelphia, they get a Super Bowl rematch with the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52.
Listen live Super Bowl Sunday, February 4th, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official home of the Super Bowl, a presentation of Westwood One Sports.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Valvoline. For hot rides, cool merch, and content, check out TeamValvoline.com. Oklahoma's point guard Trae Young is one of the most exciting freshman ballers we've ever seen. He's averaging 30 points and almost 10 assists per game and leading the 12th-ranked Sooners. His major flaw, though, is that he's a turnover machine, a side effect of his aggressive attacking style. Over the last 4 games, he has 30 assists to a whopping 33 turnovers. It's part of the reason that the Sooners are 2-2 over that stretch, losing to unranked Kansas State and Oklahoma State. At 19, he's still learning, a little bit of which showed last night as he helped his squad upset 5th-ranked Kansas. He only took 9 shots, efficiently scoring 26, had 9 assists and 5 turnovers. Trae Young is a star. He just needs to keep learning how to be a reliable one. I'm Tiki Barber.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-2-3 menu with breakfast favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the Sausage McGriddles, Small McCafe Espresso Drinks, the Sausage McMuffin with Egg, and
a new gaming console for my son.
No, but the $1-2-3 menu could help you save for one. Wait, isn't your son 5 months old?
Who told you?
I just know these things.
Oh.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-2-3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Buffalo Wild Wings is everyone's favorite premier sports bar and the best place to watch the big game. They have tons of TVs, great food like beefy burgers, tasty wraps, and B-Dub's signature wings. Wash it all down with your choice of up to 40 different beers on tap. Having a big game party at home? Carry out the B-Dub's flavor and be the MVP. Call ahead now to pre-order your wings before February 4th so you can schedule a pickup time. Call them in Algonquin, Crystal Lake, and Hoffman Estates. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer, sports.
Looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home? Then you need to call the most honest lender in the mortgage business. Team Hochberg. Supporting veterans is Team Hochberg's passion. That's why they support Veteran Roasters, a Chicago coffee roaster with great coffee that hires homeless and chronically unemployed veterans. If you would like to help create jobs for homeless veterans, visit veteranroasters.com and purchase a 12-ounce bag of coffee ground by once homeless and unemployed veterans. The coffee's delicious, and the profits are reinvested in hiring additional homeless veterans. Use promo code TEAMHOCHBURG to save 50% off the second bag you purchase. Veteran Roasters, they were on the ground for us, so buy these grounds for them. If you're a veteran securing a VA loan, work with a lender who supports veterans. Call Team Hochberg at 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Team Hochberg's helped Jason and Tanny and thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333. For straightforward, no BS, honest advice, call Team Hochberg at 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, an equal housing lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License C-4358, NMLS 19186.
At the Home Depot, free carpet installation means free carpet installation. And free includes clearing out furniture, ripping out old carpet, hauling it away, even carpeting stairs with no hidden fees. Free installation on carpet $699 or more means free installation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately.
The 18th annual Chicago Polar Plunge returns Sunday, March 4th to North Avenue Beach.
Benefiting the 7,500 athletes of the Special Olympics Chicago program.
Registrations now open by visiting chicagopolarplunge.org.
You never know who will plunge this year.
Why will you plunge? Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
When he was asked the question about play calling in the Titans game, and his answer, I mean, I felt the energy of the room change. Like, you could hear a pin drop. It was like one of those, like, a moment of, a trial where it's like, ooh.
I called every single play in the second half. That's a learning situation for me. You know, I've gone back, I've looked at it. There's scenarios where I wish I would have made some different choices with the play call.
You're on that wall. You need me on that wall. It was just, did you order the code red was the question.
That was a failure in my book for me. But I'll grow from it, and I'll learn from it. I promise you that.
I thought it was a very dramatic moment.
I'm going to be aggressive, but it's got to be calculated. If you ask somebody to cross the line on me being aggressive or not aggressive, they're going to definitely say he's an aggressive play caller and person.
Mully and Handley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We have four new members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. They are Chipper Jones, Vlad Guerrero, Jim Thome, and Trevor Hoffman. Need legal advice from a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legaladvice and look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legaladvice.
Join 670 The Score, Spiegel & Parkins for a fun night out with a bit of Las Vegas sizzle. And attend the 5th annual Mercy Home Poker Night on January 25th at Gibson's Restaurant and Bar. Enjoy cocktails, dinner, casino games, and Texas Hold'em Tournament, all while giving hope and opportunity for kids in crisis living at Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. You could even win a seat at the 2018 World Series of Poker in Las Vegas. To learn more and purchase your seat today, visit mercyhome.org/poker or call 312-738-7578. The Mercy Home Poker Night is proudly supported by WSCR 670 The Score. Thanks for streaming The Score. We are Chicago's original and number one sports station. And of course, your official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Where in 2018, you'll hear Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer deliver more of this.
Swing a line drive down the left field line. Base hit, Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo with a game winner. High fly ball, deep right field. Get out the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Bryant flying to center his first time. Drives one in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's long gone. That ball is a fair ball. Home run. Russell drives one in the air to left field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is a three-run homer. Addison Russell with a three-run home run.
Hear every Cubs game, spring training through the postseason, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Thanks for streaming The Score. Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
North Side, it is Carlos on The Score.
Are free agents going to be cool with his resume and be willing to come down to Chicago? Or
Carlos, the most important thing in your life outside of your family?
Money.
You're damn right, Carlos.
That's the right answer. That's
exactly what's important to these free agents. The Bears got a lot of cap space, man.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hub Ark isn't that getting better than this?
It only gets better when the questions and comments get better, and that way Hub's answers get better, and then everybody learns more about football, and we are all informed and entertained. So next in that process will be Steve in Glen Ellen on The Score. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Hub, question for you and the New York Giants and their hire Pat Shurmur. And what little I've read out of the New York media was kind of a ho-hum response, but you know, I thought he was a good candidate, and I really thought that James Betcher was also a really good addition as defensive coordinator. But I wanted to get your opinion. What are your thoughts about that?
No, I'm with you. You know, listen, Shurmur is laid back. He is, I don't know if I'd say he's an introvert, but I mean, you know, he's not going to give you a lot of great sound bites. He's not going to tell his players to win one for the Gipper, but he is known as somewhat of a quarterback whisperer. I think the Betcher thing is fascinating because you have to remember that it was Steve Spagnuolo, the head coach of the St. Louis Rams, who hired Shurmur as his offensive coordinator, and with him being in New York, it was assumed that he would be the defensive coordinator. And then there were reports about Jack Del Rio and now Betcher. We talked about Betcher yesterday. He's an excellent coach. I'm still stunned that Steve Wilks got the Cardinals job over him. And I'm a Dave Gettleman fan. I think all you got to do is look at Gettleman's work with the Giants as the assistant to Ernie Accorsi and Jerry Reese. And then you look at his work in Carolina and building a Super Bowl team there in 2015. And, you know, no, it's not one that's going to get people jumping up and down in the aisles, but these are really solid hires. And I think the Giants are in pretty good hands.
NIU Dave is on The Score.
Hey, Hub, I got a question about the officiating in the Jacksonville-New England game. I think it's either suspicious, incompetent, or somewhere in between. I really couldn't believe some of what I saw. And Jacksonville made some comments after the game. In fact, the coach, even walking off after the first half, made a comment about the pass interference. That said, has Jacksonville filed anything with the league, and has the league answered at all anything about these calls on Sunday, particularly some of the no calls that the Patriots could have been called for? There's a pass interference that should have been called for, and they didn't get flagged. What are you hearing?
Well, two answers to you, Dave. First of all, obviously we watched a different game because the officiating didn't jump out to me. I thought it was a well-officiated game. I knew there would be questions about the interference on Boyer, and it was late in the game that set up the not the touchdown to win. Yeah, maybe it was the one to win. It was one of the last two touchdowns. But other than that, I just didn't see it. I've talked to people about it, and more agreed with me. I know there are some fans that are unhappy and maybe betters, because I'm guessing there's not a lot of Jaguars fans around here. But I just didn't think it was that badly an officiated game. Have the Jaguars, you know, following a game, coaches always send the tape with the questionable plays to the league office. Since this was the last of the season, I'm not sure what benefit there would be in that. You know, so I don't know, but I'm guessing the Jaguars may not have bothered in this particular case.
The Miles Jack play, too, where he was whistled down and it was an obvious touchdown. 27-10 is a big difference.
But that was such a tough call. I didn't know he had the ball. And I watched the replay three times. I didn't know he had the ball. Yeah. That's why they blew the whistle. I guess I can't fault.